Governments of all stripes, or politicians rather, are rather prone to blame civil servants for obstructing their plans or failing to deliver them. On the one hand, their claims of bloated, jobs-worth institutionalism in the civil service. On the other hand, defenders of the civil service say that you need impartial professionals to keep politicians in check. Well, the latest assault on the Sir Humphreys of this world comes from a think tank called the Centre for Government Reform, and Amir Kotecha, a former UK diplomat, is their chief executive. Welcome to you.
Hi, Adam.
What are you proposing to do about the civil service?
I think it needs radical reform, which is why I've launched this new organisation with two former government ministers, Lord Nash and Lord Agnew. But radical reform and also a fresh influx of talent from outside of the slightly stale, stagnant pools of Westminster and Whitehall. I think we need people who have run real businesses in the real economy, know how to run efficient, lean organisations, to come in and bring that sort of private sector rigour, but also bring new talents. So there's people who have started companies in the sort of tech space. I think those skills could be brought to bear on the civil service as well. And even ex-military personnel who, again, have worked at the coalface, know how to get things done, and bring that sort of can-do attitude to the civil service.
Yeah, but is business the same as public service? I mean, business is primarily motivated by wanting to make a profit. Public service is primarily trying to give people a good and a fair service. I mean, they're not the same, are they?
No, I think you're right, Adam. They are different, which is why what we're saying is not only do we need to find these people, including from the private sector, but then we need to then give them a sort of grounding in the ways of Whitehall and the ways of government to make them ready for that very different world that they may come into. Because you're absolutely right, it's actually quite a different world. And in the past, if you actually look at sort of business CEOs, for example, that have come into Whitehall, they sometimes haven't been as impactful and effective as they could have been because they haven't had that preparation in how government actually works. So, yeah, so that's what we're about.
I mean, that's the question. I mean, this is a new initiative, but it's not a new idea. I mean, I've been covering politics for decades, and just about every government has said, oh, why can't we bring businessmen in? And as you say, I mean, including, I have to say, your patrons, Lord Ashcroft and Lord Agnew and Lord Nash. I mean, they didn't exactly make a splash when they were in government. Now, is that actually because they weren't up to it, or is it because they were obstructed?
Well, I think you're right that this idea has been there before. I mean, you may remember the so-called goats of the Gordon Brown administration, sort of government of all the talents. So, as you say, there's long been this idea of bringing in outsiders. But what there hasn't been is a proper organisation to prepare them and train them up to do that job effectively, right? I mean, on Lord Nash and Lord Agnew, I mean, they were effective. I mean, particularly in the Department for Education, they were something.
I mean, Lord Agnew actually resigned in disgust in the end.
In the end, he did resign over what he saw as billions of pounds of fraud, which he feels very strongly about in government. And actually, that's one of the things we'll be looking at, how to tackle some of the fraud that we see in government. But Lord Nash and Lord Agnew also behind the free schools revolution, which actually was one of the examples of how, by doing things a bit differently, you can genuinely achieve changes in Whitehall. So, no, look, Adam, it's not the same as business, but I think it's clear something is not working at the moment in our government machine. We have to try things which are new. And I think everyone actually would think that if there are successful CEOs of FTSE 100 companies, for example, that have made a success of a company, we should surely as a country be trying to use those talents and skills and bring them into
right.
government.
Okay, you said something's not working. What's not working?
Well, I resigned from the Foreign Office and I saw certain problems there. I mean, one of them, I think, was a constant focus on peripheral matters rather than the core of the job. I think that's part of it.
Such as?
Well, so for example, you know, I gave examples in the Foreign Office of how we have green cities teams that are focused on tackling the air quality in improving the air quality in faraway cities, rather than a more hard-nosed focus on our national security challenges, right? So that's just one small example.
But it's not set by civil servants, that's set by politicians, isn't it?
So that's set by politicians, but I think the problem we have is a lack of political direction from the top, and we also then have a sort of institutional inertia at the officials level. So I think it's actually both. The point I would make is this is about reducing the size of the civil service and government where possible. So we do think that reductions in headcount, for example, are possible. But it's also about improving the way we run things. So, for example, we currently have a system of a Victorian system, essentially, of generalists, right? We don't really have very deep specialists in the civil service. I think actually, in a data AI age, not having really deep data specialists, for example, in the civil service, is madness. So it's also about improving the quality of the people, not just the numbers.
But it's probably about paying them more as well, isn't it? I mean, you can make more money in private business even if you're a data analyst or whatever.
Yeah, and it may well be paying certain people more. So if there's really elite talent out there, for example, sort of data analysts, we would be willing to pay them more. But it's also about reforming the overall remuneration of the public sector, because, you know, the pensions in the public sector, for example, are very, very high and risk crippling the system. But actually, there's very little performance pay. So what we would like to see, for example, is more performance-linked pay people bonuses if they deliver results, but maybe trim down on things like the pensions.
Right, you've got these two, I think, both Conservative peers and yourself. So where does it go from here? How do you actually achieve your end?
Well, we're going to be cross-party, right? And we're going to work with anyone and everyone.
Have you got anyone cross-party?
So we'll announce an advisory council in the coming weeks, and you'll see some pretty big names in there, and they range from across the political spectrum. We're going to engage with all those parties, but crucially, we're going to find people that want to answer this call. So, you know, if people are listening and they've run a successful business, but also they might be a head teacher of a school, they might be a tech entrepreneur, they might be a former military officer. If they think that they can bring their talents into government, we would encourage them to reach out to us. And so it's going to be finding those people.
Amir Kotecha from the Centre for Government Reform. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.